Hadi bakalım.
Are you a Main Street business caught flat-footed with riot season already upon us? Get your decorative human reaction plywood at humanreactionpod.com, where you can get high-quality American-made plywood to protect your business from the voice of the unheard. We accept payments from your insurance company and Bitcoin. But wait, there's more! Show your pride and get double the protection with our annual Gay Pride Month exclusive edition. Order now and get HR Fire Extinguisher for free!
And while you're at it, friends, don't forget to get all of your apparel needs served by our incredible sponsor, Revved Up Promo. Not to be confused with Revved Up Homo, which is something only found in the streets of L.A. They're located right down the road from us in Belgrade, Montana, very far from the riots, so their supply chain will not be interrupted. You will get your apparel on time, every time. Check out our sponsor, RevvedUpPromo.com. Let's get on with the show.
Welcome to Human Reaction, everybody.
Speaking of riots, I would love to see riots in the comments.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Set the comments on fire. Help tell the algorithm that you want the show to be spread far and wide.
That's right.
Much like the riots of LA.
If you're feeling unheard, make yourself heard in the comments.
Yeah. Perfect.
It's time to rise up. No, stop being undocumented and just...
undocumented watchers. We got a lot of undocumented watchers. Document yourselves.
And subscribe to the channel. Make sure to hit the notification
bell. Leave a review. Document yourself. Document your experience with the show.
That might be our best intro ever.
Well done, everybody. Well done. All right.
So, coming into it, I'm sure as everyone knows, LA is on fire, or at least parts of LA. I don't want to make it seem like the entire sprawling metropolis of LA, which is spread out however many miles, is on fire. But like over in Paramount, it's on fire right now. And we got some... So we got it coming here. We have our tax dollars down there with the cops, and then you have the people throwing bricks down on the cops, which is somehow also our tax dollars.
Yeah, we'll be digging into that. That's a true story.
We'll get into that. Also, strangely enough, I see coming out of the smoke, we have... Wait, hang on a second. Who's that emerging?
It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Kyle Rittenhouse. These are some of my favorite tweets.
He goes where he is called. You know, when he is needed most, he will appear.
I also wanted to highlight this video from Theo Von, which I just found hilarious.
Heard you got deported, dude. Bye.
The sentiments of rural America right there. Holy cow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what happened? Dig into it.
Hold on. How is it possible that I leave off the grid for 5 days to float a river and I come back and LA is burning? What's that all about? That's crazy. You know what? And this is interesting. The final day of the float, it was really smoky. And it was smoky here in Bozeman too as we were driving back on Sunday. And it just thought it had this weird scent of baby oil. And I was like, that's super odd. What's going on here? It turns out California's on fire.
Oh, did his mansion got caught on fire?
I think so.
Yeah, it's funny. The Waymos are full of baby oil.
You know, it's funny. I have a friend in California who watches the show who's just coming up to float the same river that you were just on. And he's just like, I'm going to be gone. And he's like in California. He's like, I'm going to get back off the river and be like, my God, I'm going to have to like get a posse together. get down and save my wife.
Just stay there as long as you can. on the river, that is.
Yeah, so basically since the 6th, which started with an ICE raid, has now turned into protests, turned into riots, turned into like streets on fire, Apple stores getting looted over over 3-4 days. Yeah. It's escalated very quickly.
The aggregate statistics I've been able to compile so far is around 1,000 rioters. You know, larger protests than that, as always, a minority of the total protests. 56 arrests. So not that many, really, compared to the amount of rioters, right?
No.
We did have a National Guard and Marine deployment from the Trump administration. It's an important note. Relatively quickly and relatively early, ICE facilities specifically were under threat. And this is the most iconic picture. So I mean, it's like, oh, that That guy's balling, man. He's high on the world right now.
I saw a meme. I think it was posted by our friends at Being Libertarian. It said, liberals decided to help out with Republicans' new campaign ad by standing on top of a car, waving a Mexican flag in an American city.
Yeah. Just as you guys are talking about it for people on video, I'll be playing some various experiences that have come from the riots. Like right here, we have cops coming in and taking out looters. It's a pretty chaotic scene right here.
I'm just going to say that was a solid mount from the officer there to get
took the back
mount
quite quickly.
Yeah, it was a good mount. Yeah, it was well, good control. We also have riots going on as of the recording today in Austin, Dallas, Texas. Not riots, more protests with some violence. So we're not getting the looting stores yet. And as of right now, on the freeway 101 is blocked in L.A. Look at that Camaro he's got. That's great.
This guy obviously trains.
Well done, yeah. Yeah, they're putting their police department through some jiu-jitsu. That was a side I didn't see that before. That was a good Camaro.
We need to get Joe Rogan out there in the Austin protest.
I was just about to say that.
Walking us up, Liz. How did it go for you?
No, laying moves on people.
Oh, okay.
Well, here's also crazy. Like, they're firing mortar rounds here. Oh, whoops. They're firing mortar rounds here too.
But it is not this day.
Yeah, sorry, Bennett.
Kapooey.
Poosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of mortar round, we're talking about
firework mortars.
That was actually a community note discussion I saw under this post. It's like, that's not a mortar. It's not a military device to kill people.
I was just reading Europeans.
This is wild. And we also have this like national day of protest coming up this weekend, right on the 14th. I've seen a lot of posts about that as well. So do you guys think other cities have to fear this coming to a town near you?
It's a summer of love.
Yeah, I mean, this is from different people, right? So this is more like unions and like, this isn't these groups. We'll dig into the groups that organize it. It's not the same. It's the same side of the political aisle. But it seems more orientated towards like Medicaid cuts and things like that, from what I've seen so far.
The march this weekend.
Yeah. Gotcha. Less so
we'll see riots.
Immigration.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Stuff.
I feel we'll like see riots.
You're going to see copycat scenarios occur somewhere.
That's
right?
True.
Like that'll probably happen.
If there's a store that needs things stolen, it'll be stolen.
If there's a store well stocked, it will not be by Saturday or Sunday morning.
Yeah, we're gonna see it's gonna be just like the BLM riots, right? Like we're gonna be seeing the same thing. It happens in tons of different cities. We're gonna see probably more fiascos with cops coming in. We're gonna see a lot of people being like seeing what they saw online with LA. People are gonna get out of hand. It's gonna be a drunken event. People are gonna go into stores and steal things. We'll see that the same stuff happen over
again. Kyle. It's the festive season of riot season, right? This is what we do
in
the summertime now. This is just what we do. When Trump's president and it's summertime, you riot.
During a Republican presidency, you riot in the summer.
That's what you do. Yeah. A couple of things. So it's going to be called the No Kings Protest. So they're going on the whole oligarchy thing. Like that's what they're doing there. Trump's a king, that sort of thing.
Right.
The president of the teacher union is out there promoting it. I mean, it's a little bit more establishment-y. So I think it'll probably be a little less so, but you never know. It could get out of hand. One of the interesting stories that happened with this is Christy Walton from the Walmart Walton family took an ad out on a bunch of magazines and newspapers to advertise for the day of protest.
Really?
Yeah. So the right wing is now organizing a boycott of Walmart.
They're pulling their own Bud Light.
I know.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Here's the ad. Yeah.
No Kings, June 14th, mobilize. We are people of principle and honor. We honor our commitments and stand by our allies. We defend against aggression by dictators. We uphold and defend the Constitution. We care for veterans and children. We respect our neighbors. Shouldn't we note that a lot of cops are veterans? I just think I might do that. Okay.
Yeah.
We respect our neighbors and trading partners. We support the stores in your neighborhood are your neighbors. Okay. All right. Moving on. We support a healthy national and international economy, community, and environment. Burning things is not good for the environment. Where are we now?
Well, it's also going out during the summer of love didn't stop the spread either, right?
Right, exactly.
Right. Same vibe.
Yeah, definitely the same vibe. Statue of Liberty in this ad here for audio-only listeners. So very patriotic overall.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're obviously talking about it in terms of a peaceful protest, and that their public face has to say this is going to be just a teacher's
protest. So what happens to their public face when their protest doesn't stay peaceful? Anything?
Wow.
Do they get tied to it?
No. That's the crazy thing, is how... Teflon the left is about this stuff, right? Even the groups that we'll talk about that are directly connected to the LA riot and are organizing and advertising for it seem to pay no social cost for the stuff. And I just don't, it's always diffused into the generic left wing's a problem. When, you know, I don't understand why that happens per se. I don't really can't explain it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is sort of off topic, but more back to the LA situation. Like, when do we see the rooftop Koreans come back up?
Oh, did you see one of the rooftop Koreans was out there like tweeting.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
And it was getting pretty like, I didn't realize this was an account, but there was a rooftop Korean.
Yeah. Who's like famous online for being the guy in the picture with the with the gun.
The Daewoo K-1.
He's like super MAGA, this guy. Yeah. Like hardcore MAGA. It was pretty good. No, like I saw somebody tweeted out, it's just like, somebody get the Koreans back up on the rooftops. And that guy was like in the comments, he's like, I think Trump's got it handled.
No, and there's another one was like, somewhere in LA, a Korean is dusting off his Daewoo K-1, and he commented like, no, baby, it's always ready and oiled up, ready to go.
that was that guy. So, and this is interesting too, because it is 1992 in the Rodney King riots was the last time National Guard was called up in order to handle a riot.
Wow.
Now, this isn't nearly the range of destruction of that yet. So we'll see in a couple weeks.
It's worth noting because I saw in the media, there's a lot of people in the media saying this is the first time the National Guard was ever called from the president for a riot. Like I saw that narrative floating around on the internet and through like the mainstream news cycles. So, and it's literally like, in 1992, George Herbert Walker Bush brought in to LA specifically, and brought in the National Guard. So like, this isn't a new thing. And it's actually, I'm reminded of back during the Summer of Love, I remember Trump held off from bringing in the National Guard. Mm-hmm. He like wanted the governors to like beg for it if they wanted it. And he chose not to, for like Seattle and Portland and
governors can call up the National Guard to themselves. And they did. I mean, during the George Floyd riots in places like Minnesota, Michigan, places like that, they did call in the National Guard. I don't know about California, but I know those places did.
Yeah.
So, where we're at on the whole thing is, well, We're now sitting with this riot, and now this is the question: is the discourse right? Is like, what is this the voice of the unheard? Is this a legitimate form of political protest?
Is it a human reaction?
Yes.
Get your plywood.
Get your plywood while supplies last.
Well, that's the thing is, I think as the public in general has just become way more aware of how protests are orchestrated typically and how most often the time they are kind of scams. They are funded and supported and astroturfed in various ways. There was one guy, Data Republican, who is a big Twitter account online. And I know Congress is like using his data to look into some of this stuff right now. I saw Anna Paulina Luna talking about that on Twitter earlier. Of tracking the money to these different organizations that are a part of that.
Right, because we are seeing pallets of bricks delivered to these protests again, just the same way we saw them during George Floyd, right?
I haven't seen it with this protest, specifically LA. I saw some corollary stuff that was from 2020. I saw some stuff from a protest that had pallets of bricks nearby in Oklahoma, but I wasn't able to authenticate specifically LA.
LA, gotcha.
Yeah, in this year.
Okay, so but Oklahoma, that's not your typical like bastion.
But I wasn't
sure
if that wasn't a psyop too, right? Because it wasn't a riot in Oklahoma with bricks being thrown that I could find.
We did see there was the bionic shield masks that were being brought in. I'll pull those up here.
That is interesting. Yeah. So these shields, this guy pulls up in this rig on television, like while they're recording them. If you go to the left one there, this is like a right wing television station. Like internet station, and it pans over, and this cat's pulled up in his truck, and they're handing out these full mask shields. Now they call them gas masks. They're not gas masks. They're protective masks.
I'll mute them.
They don't. I'm not. Some people are accusing it of having some kind of protection from like facial recognition software. That doesn't appear to be true. Huh. But they are, I mean, it's a lot of them. Look at all those things.
Yeah, and these are like $40.
$40 to $60 a piece.
Like, we got them right here.
Yeah, yeah, I found
them. So if you want your masks, go to
humanreaction.com. Get your Bionic Clear anti-fog face shield.
So your assertion, or the general assertion here, is that these are being bought for the protesters by some organization.
Yeah, or someone, an individual probably. I mean, an organization has to account for things a little bit, but I mean, it's difficult to know who's buying it or who that guy's associated with. They've identified the driver, but I haven't found anything come out about his associations.
It is hard too. In a lot of this is a lot of people are reposting old footage from the 2020 Summer of Love. And people are using that and saying that stuff's happening here. So like oftentimes, like I find something and I'm like pile of brick stuff.
Yeah.
And the pile of brick stuff that I saw came back from 2020. Mm. So, but like, it's one of those things where there were people with bricks. Oh. So bricks were coming from somewhere. Right. So
sure.
Like, right.
Yeah. There was a pile of bricks outside the LA one, but I figured out that was actually right outside of Home Depot. And they're
looting there. Home Depot for things to throw.
Didn't get any video of them looting it. Just saw powder bricks that had been stripped out a little.
Home
bit.
Depot was supporting the protest.
it could have been there. This to is block actually the interesting. Roadway that so people wouldn't park behind it because all the roads are full.
The Home Depot connection is interesting. I actually hadn't heard that part because when I was digging into, so we had Homan. He was going on news channels and saying what sparked this originally. Actually, let me pull that clip up.
Tom Homan, the Border Czar.
The Border Czar, yes. And he was saying that it actually wasn't sparked from necessarily, like, it's an issue adjacent to the immigration issue, where they were doing an ICE raid on Ambiance Clothing Company on June 6th. And I was doing some Grok research, like I was asking Grok about things, and they were saying that there was like, Grok was saying that there was like six Home Depots that may have been in connection with this. Hmm. Like employees at Home Depots that were probably illegal immigrants as well. I haven't verified that beyond Grok's telling me that, but it's just when you said Home Depot, I was like, said something about
that. That's crazy.
I guess I'm confused. The employees of Home Depot were involved with this clothing company that they're investigating?
So there's this. So what's happening here? Let me pull up the Tom Homan clip and we can hear it. And then I'll give into what I heard is there's this. It was a money laundering case, is that there was a large scale, like $80 million in money laundering and like $30 million in tax evasion.
Whoa.
From a company that already has a shady past with a shady CEO who has gone to jail for a year back in 2020 for the same type of stuff before. So here is Tom Homan talking about this, and then we can get a little bit more into it.
Were there public safety threats in the Fashion District and at that Home Depot in these raids we've seen?
Yeah, that's what no one's talking about. The Fashion District wasn't an immigration raid. It was a service of three criminal warrants at locations based on a large criminal conspiracy that ICE have been investigating. That has to do with money laundering, tax evasion, and customs fraud. Where a company underdeclared over $80 million in goods, failed to pay $17 million in fees. And it's part of an overall conspiracy on numerous businesses that they believe that some of this money is being laundered in Mexico and Colombia, the fund cartel activity. So this was a criminal investigation that they all responded to in the beginning. That's how it all started. But the facts never got out. Even though we put the facts out, the media didn't cover it. They just said immigration raids, you know, we're separating families and all the negative information we hear all the time. We took a lot of bad people off the street last couple of days. A Vietnamese national that attended a graduation party, was kicked out and came back and killed two young people, two young Americans. We arrested a child predator. We arrested someone for sexual misconduct. Someone arrested for committed armed robbery. We arrested numerous gang members. What ICE did the last couple of days is make Los Angeles safer by taking public safety threats off the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there was, in that raid alone, this varies from sources. I have anywhere from 44 to 118 in that raid that he's talking about. So arrests. This is like pre-riot.
Arrests that were made.
Arrests, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting that he mentioned Singapore there, because I think this is a Singaporean name. The owner of that place, Ambiance Clothing, is named Sang Bum No, but his nickname is Ed.
Interesting. Singapore.
Vietnam. Oh. I believe that's a Vietnamese name. sounds Vietnamese to me. It's Southeast Asia. Has a and he's had a history of illegal activity, double invoicing, falsifying import documents, evading tariffs, etc. He pleaded guilty in 2020 for money laundering and tax evasion, and served 1 year in federal prison. In this raid, what he was targeted with was underdeclared over $80 million in goods and failed to pay $17 million in customs fees.
Oh, wow.
And then Homan here is saying that they believe that this is being laundered into, that the company is laundering money into the cartels. So
interesting. So is there any sort of assumption or perhaps evidence that that money that's being laundered to the cartels is being used to facilitate these protests? Or are mostly the culprits involved with that, or you know, suspected of that, American organizations?
The ones we know most directly are ones like the Party for Socialism and Liberation, which is a literal communist organization. They got a website. They are public. They put out their philosophy, which is, I listened to one of their podcasts. It's straight up Marxist Maoism type shit. One of their donors was kind of highlighted by Data Republican, and then that's what Anna Polina Luna is drawing on. This guy Neville Singham. Neville Roy Singham. He was born in Chicago. He is a former chair of ThoughtWorks, an IT consulting company, which he sold for $785 million in 2017. He's a socialist and Maoist himself, very public with his views. Was a former member of the League of Revolutionary Black Workers. Interesting.
Started a consulting business in 2019.
And then he was a strategic technical consultant for Huawei. Interestingly.
Specifically, his consulting business was partners who are active in the propaganda apparatus of the Chinese Communist Party. That's what the Wikipedia is saying.
Citing is a New York Times article, which is interesting. It's a 2023 New York Times article that's investigation reveals, and this is the shorthand of it, investigation reveals that the American tech millionaire Roy Singham was secretly funding a global network of far-left activist groups to promote Chinese government propaganda under the guise of progressive advocacy. And there was a big network, substantial. A couple hundred million dollars, not the biggest. He's not George Soros, but I mean, a pretty substantial funder. And this is all done without FARA registration.
He's donated $65 million to nonprofit organizations, including Code Pink.
Yeah, his wife is the founder of Code Pink.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's where I know this name from. I feel like I've looked into this guy. Like, I feel like I've looked into ThoughtWorks before. Yeah,
his wife's name, Jody Evans. And that Code Pink is a very left-wing anti-war group for women. Yeah.
Quite specific.
Yeah, but I mean, and who does?
Oh, yeah, married to Jody Evans.
Quite laudable, right? They try to break, you know, blockades and stuff like that in countries.
They were one of the major people behind the Summer of Love, though, too.
Oh, yeah, as well.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, they're part of this apparatus. Like, because the way that, where my current thinking is right now is that there's a Venn diagram that exists that is the cartels, Venn diagrams, like Kamala Harris.
I tried not to grin. I couldn't.
That's the cartels and the NGO apparatus. And it's like how much that actually overlaps. And also like China, like there's like a Chinese connection in here, which we have with this guy, right? 100%. Here, the consulting side.
Remember for your moment, the soda pop thing from last year with all the conservative influencers tweeting exactly the same thing about why Snap should be able to buy soda pop.
Oh yeah. That was this year.
Yeah. This guy was doing that last year as well for Chinese Communist Party propaganda.
Really?
According to the New York Times, paying a bunch of influencers to do pro-Chinese, you know, propaganda work, right? With influencers. He also funded a bunch of organizations, including the Coalition for Humane Immigration Rights, or CHIRLA? CHIRLA? C-H-I-R-L-A.
Yeah.
And this group is directly connected to these guys. So we know that the PSL was part of this. They advertised it publicly and encourage people to go. The Coalition for Humane Immigration Rights also did that. They're a group that offers like free immigration legal services, and they also do policy advocacy. They're a very public group as well. $34 million of it's reported out of 45 million. 34 out of 45 million in revenue are from the government grants. So, and it's mostly from the state of California. About 450K are in federal grants from the Department of Homeland Security.
DHS, why?
I don't know.
Probably
has something to do with immigration services.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah. But this was Biden era, not this year. Right?
Sure.
But,
Something I would recommend, I watched James O'Keefe's documentary, Line in the Sand, which is on the immigration stuff, it's very worthwhile watching. He did like a bunch of stuff where he like took the train where illegal immigrants are going, and he like traveled with them and like from Mexico City and everything. But then he went to all these places trying to get
to seduce gay men.
That is what O'Keefe is known for. He is a bit of a theater kid. But he would go to a lot of these like nonprofit organizations and go into these these different communities, like Latino communities, Chinese communities in California and Arizona and stuff. There's a lot of Chinese stuff that's going on with this too, because we saw with the Darien Gap situation, there was a lot of there's a lot of Asians that are also coming through. Like it's people from all around. Not just Central America, right?
Right, but there were entire Chinese camps with, you know, documentation all written in Chinese. Mm-hmm. And
he went into, like, I remember he went to this like Catholic organization, which is one of those that gets funding from the USAID side and all that stuff.
They're directly on the charity map for these guys. They give money directly, and the Lutheran Foundation and other ones. There's a Jewish foundation that also gives money to these guys.
HIAS, that's the one that Mayor Orkus was originally chairman of before he went on and worked in the Biden administration,
right.
Which shows like another interesting connection where you're like, like they were like the prominent people setting up the camps for like these Chinese migration folks. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, the guy in the Biden administration that's like, this is his role on the policy perspective, is like the former chairman of HIAS. It's like the Hebrew Institute of something. They were founded for the pogroms back like 100 years ago, right?
But
now they're doing migrant stuff, bringing people through Central America
illegally. Mm-hmm. To be clear, this is all America. Illegal immigration. This isn't to help you with your legal immigration funded by U.S. tax dollars and
stuff like that through these international development arms, not just from the U.S., but from China, from like all these different countries have these international development arms, and these are getting like funneled into these nonprofits, right?
Right.
And you do wonder, I mean, to what degree NED or, you know, the USAID is behind this to some level too. You know, like the charity map did not have that, but if you're going to wash money, you know, coming from NED, you would use the cartels. Right.
That's what the Vatican was used for back during Mussolini.
Right.
Is that they worked with the mafia to wash money, because Mussolini was trying to crack down, and he was like very much like, we need law and order in Italy. Mm-hmm. And the Vatican was used as a measure for washing money with the cartels.
Oh, yeah. The Vatican actually accused of him as an apostate of the Catholic Church under the accusation of statism. Worship of the state.
Yeah.
Literally. Huh. Yeah. So, and he was not a fan, and the Catholic Church was not a fan of Mussolini in many ways.
Wow.
You're not wrong.
But these different groups, like, they do this money washing, right? Like, they have these shadow banks, they wash the money. And so it's like really difficult to actually track the money. Like, it's like you always say follow the money, but like the money gets washed off.
Yeah. Especially if it's done in cash, right? So I'm sure those masks were not paid for by the company credit card, right? It was probably paid for in cash. Mm-hmm. That's harder to track. So these guys, Chirla, are probably the predominant group in doing this, and they're widely understood as being one of the major organizers of this. They themselves are, you know, well connected to the mayor, unions, Democrats in the area, by the people in the area. And this is a local person here, Laura Powell, who did a big tweet or a big thread about their connections. A lot of these are informal connections, right? So these are external policy actors, meaning they do independent expenditures and campaigns, saying this candidate is good, that candidate's bad. They do lobbying, they do grassroots lobbying. Each of those functions, they can't coordinate directly, but they're well-known associates of those folks, right? They're featured at events and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty well established that Chirla is like heavily tied in with the Democrats. Democrats are tied in from the official party point of view. And then, of course, you have local businesses and the NGOs and maybe some, you know, cartel activity encouraging this kind of behavior with the riots, right? Mm-hmm. All very subverted, all not proved yet. By any like documentation, we don't have the smoking gun that these guys were planning a riot. But that said, there's a lot of association here. And ultimately, your tax dollars are paying for people to encourage people to go to this. That's the crazy part. If you're a Californian, a regular taxpayer, one of these businesses that just got looted, your property taxes went to the California state government and then got paid out in terms of $34 million to this group over time. But $34 million, a lot of money.
For them to fund protesters to destroy your community and potentially your house.
Yeah.
That's why I pulled that meme. It's like our tax dollars versus also our tax dollars.
Yeah, that's the proof. Now, the SEIU was also there, and their one of their leaders was charged with conspiracy to impede an officer at the arrest at the protest, which was interesting. Another SEIU employee got arrested at the actual raid which was interesting. And then there's another group called Million Voters Project.
Oh, wait, before we move on from SEO, what's this from Mike Benz?
That's just to remind you that the Department of Labor gave SEIU $10 million of your tax dollars.
Yeah. So just like all these people are getting our money, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I almost forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Thanks for slowing me down. So the Million Voters Project was also involved, and they're like a voter turnout org, which is a very typical way to disguise other political activity as a voter turnout org. It's very typical on the left. You have lots of groups in every state that I'm aware of that will have in Montana it's called Forward Montana, but there are other ones all across the country. And this one, Million Voters Project, is a national one that has chapters in many areas. And during election season, they're a voter turnout. They're all about democracy. The rest of the year, they're doing advocacy of this sort. So encourage people to go to protests, encourage people to do political activity.
Mm. It is also interesting, too, because like Trump himself is saying that these are paid insurrectionists. We have him coming from Truth Social right here. Just pretty plain and simple.
Yeah.
Paid insurrectionists. Good tweet.
He's
just like, send.
Yeah. I just wish they would have like, you know, an FBI investigation that would like prove this, like with public documentation. That would be awesome.
That's kind of what ICE is doing. Like ICE is talking, well, specifically that's like what they were doing, these large scale criminal conspiracies, which is one of those things where they do this bust, they arrest all these people. Homan says what some of the people were like that they arrested in this. And then all of a sudden this outsparks outside of it. And you're just like, oh, it's immigration raids. And you're just like, well, they weren't actually targeting anybody like for necessarily illegal immigration. It's like, right. Trafficking and money laundering and, you know, those types of things. And then, but then there happens to be a lot of illegals wrapped up in it because it's part of the cartels and it's a conspiracy with the cartels, with Mexican cartels, Colombian cartels, likely Venezuelan cartels. Like we probably have Tren de Aragua in there, right? Like it's all this like big soup that's going on there. You know, and another interesting angle that I saw on this was, the Mexican president. There was a clip that was going around of her urging the protesters on.
It wasn't clear to me that you authenticated that this was during the riots or before the riots or anything like that.
This came out. This was like 2 days ago.
Oh, okay. So right around the same time.
She has later gone on and say, I condemn violence. And, you know, she does all the political talk. Mm. But and so like it is questionable of like, is this maybe a, you know, find people on both sides type of situation? Yeah, like is that what, but it is worth noting is like very specifically, like she's speaking in Spanish, so I'm not gonna kind of get her. But she's saying, if necessary, we'll mobilize. We don't want taxes on remittances from our fellow countrymen, from the US to Mexico. So
and is that the real thing going on here? Is that the real complaint?
I think that might be one of those, because like, remember we covered like a year ago or whenever the Mexican elections were, remember there was like 82 different assassinations that happened across Mexico for the presidential position. Like it was all around for like state representatives, like those types of things, mayors, like for the provincials and stuff
that. And they were all candidates at the time.
Yeah. All these candidates. It was like 82 or something. Like that's the number that rings true in my mind. I can't remember the exact number.
It's way up there. It was it's way like up 80 there. To 90. Yeah.
A lot of people reported it as there was 82 different candidates for the presidential position. Not what it was. It was all across Mexico. And then we watched as like, cause she's like this like climate scientist that comes in and it's like, she ends up being the one that gets the nod. She's like, it was like very strange. I don't remember all the details.
What's her name again?
What is her name? I don't remember.
Claudia Sheinbaum.
Yes. Yes.
anyway, what were you saying?
Yeah. Well, that was another one of the things there where it's just like, you know, interesting. You have like this,
the people that shall not be named, Kyle,
in very Catholic Latino, you know, it is what it is. but this is one of the things that's going on with the Big Beautiful Bill is apparently, and I didn't even realize that we've had 0% tax on remittances. And in the Big Beautiful Bill, it was originally 5%, but they brought it down to 3.5%. And Mexico, remittances are people coming, working here, sending the money back home.
Right.
Right. And in the bill, there's a 3.5% tax on remittances. And Mexico, the income to Mexico on remittances per year is about $68 billion, which is 5% of Mexico's GDP.
Wow.
So
that's a not a insignificant amount.
That's actually a big deal. And then it got me thinking, because like I started understanding the remittances scheme when El Salvador did their Bitcoin stuff originally, because that was a big talking point on that, which this is one of those things where this is going to push people into crypto, because you can avoid Western Union, because you're going to have to report your taxes when you go through Western Union to give your remittances to your family abroad. And then they get the fee, you know, like, and there's like an 8% fee on all the remittances or blah, 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 all that stuff, right? So it's kind of interesting that there's a crypto angle there. But when you're looking at it, how many of these countries are like dependent on remittances for their economy to operate? Like 5% is a huge number. 5% GDP is coming from people working in the United States for your GDP. Like it's crazy.
So that's a substantial issue. In fact, I do want to show you this. So we got some interviews from people at the actual event. And I always find that these interviews do quite a bit to kind of give you an idea about why it's happening. You know, why is the tone the way it is? This is my favorite thing about new media is, you know, listening to people at the George Floyd riot talk about why they're there. And then, you know, with this one, why are people here and what is their core motive? Now, some of them are pretty low IQ, right? Like they're like, why are you here? Just hanging out. Like,
just thought it was neat. Wanted to check it out.
There's like a burning Waymo behind him. It's just like, I don't know. This is bored.
Dude, that's the crazy thing. Did you guys see the video of all the Waymos leaving LA?
I saw that.
Yeah. Like they said,
I wasn't sure if that was real or not. It seemed like a psyop to me.
I saw a post from like a Waymo exec saying that they're going to be like temporarily leaving LA or something like that. So I assumed that was true, but maybe it wasn't. But it is funny as like just robo cars just being like, we're out of here, because for people that don't know, there was 5 Waymos that were set on fire. So people were, Waymos are
automated vehicles.
Yeah. Automated like taxi cars.
Yeah.
I realized that online that a lot of people didn't realize that those existed.
Yeah. Right.
So people were calling them in to the riots and then, letting them on fire.
What?
Yeah. They're like, we ran out of vehicles. Someone call Waymo.
Oh my God.
Uber drivers are too smart.
Don't like, they know, like, you call that from your phone. They know who called it.
That's a great point.
Are they
point.
Not going to blame you for it?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. That's not a very
Here's
smart
the
move.
Video. Like, I don't know if this is real as part of it, but somebody said that they passed by all these Waymos in LA. Right.
The music.
Bennett, you're probably going to have to kill this music so we don't get copyright struck.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's just kind of a weird thing. But yeah, getting back to the actual protesters themselves, we got some clips. Is there any in particular that you have in mind?
Let's just start off the top. I thought this first one. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
There's the New York Post.
Yeah. Suspend self-driving car service in downtown LA after 5 cars torched in protest.
I just want to say, while we're on the Waymo topic, they're so cool. I was so skeptical when I first got into one. I was like, this is terrifying. There's no driver, but it's actually really tight.
They're taking my job, Joe. They're taking my job.
Look, David, I'm hoping that that's not going to be your job for too much longer.
Thank you. Please. Yeah. Please, God, let it be true. So this is the super socialist guy. And I thought this was interesting. This guy is eloquent and says a lot of interesting things.
We don't agree with the term illegal. We're undocumented. We've been here for thousands of years before you guys showed up, screw up everything. We think we should organize together with the U.S. working class and fight together and create a better system. We're anti-capitalist. We think socialism does work, real socialism, not Venezuela, not Cuba, not any of that crap that they try to sell us as socialism. And we believe it would be a more humane system that will take care of most of all people's necessities.
Is there a country we can look to kind of model the socialism idea?
The only model would be Soviet Union the first 4 years. After that, it became a mess. Sadly, there was a bureaucrat leadership that grew out of that, but it has to do mainly with the attacks of the U.S. and all big powers against that system that was working. In the few years that it lasted, it showed the world that it could do much better than capitalism.
That first 4 years before they killed all the farmers.
Yikes. Yeah, that was a very bloody period, those 4 years too.
Yeah, they
were. That was pretty brutal, my bro. Yeah. But yeah, that's an ideological capture for you. So I obviously not all protesters are straight up Marxists, but I did think it was interesting that they found that guy and he was like, yeah, that's why I'm here. And if anyone's part of what was that group? PSL? Is that what I said it was? Yeah, PSL. Probably that guy. Probably that guy. Like, that guy's got all the talking points down, man. Impressive.
He did. He was very well spoken about it.
Yeah.
Which is not universally the case regarding the attendees of these events.
That's right.
Which we will get to.
But was he as eloquent as this guy, though?
I like his fit.
Yeah, this guy was a character.
Oh, just tasted a little tear gas. Tasted like fascism.
Oh, God.
You told How long do you think he was sitting on that, dude? Describe what happened to you.
I bet he said it to 10 other people afterwards. He was like, oh, tear gas.
Tasted
be
like
so
fascism.
Cool right now. Yeah.
The sunglasses and the beanies.
At
like,
night. What is he, Jack Nicholson? What's going on here?
He's like, what, they tear gassed us? You mean fascism?
We were just burning down cars and looting Apple stores.
You notice he said it smells like fascism. He didn't say it looks like fascism. Maybe he's blind.
Yeah, maybe he's blind.
Maybe he's blind.
And then the news article is LA police tear gas blind man. That's the takeaway. So don't do it this order. Do the other order. Then one next to it. The LA protester. That one. Yeah, let's do this one.
This is our city.
Oh, sorry.
Guard your earballs. But yeah. I thought this was also insightful.
And this was Mexico. You can't kick us out of the land that was ours. Donald Trump. Fascism. Let our people free.
Let our people free.
Suelta nuestra gente.
Let our people go.
For those just watching,
what's the windblower for?
Just for the fucking tear gas to blow it back at those motherfuckers. If you have a fucking blower, bring it up. Push him back. We will not do 1992 again with your fucking tanks. I was 12 then. I'm 44 now. I will die for my fucking kids. And all of these young people are here are my fucking kids. Because I'm an LA native mom. These are my fucking children you're fighting. You, Major Bass, if you can hear me, expect me to your office on Monday for attacking my children.
If you could say something to Donald Trump right now, what would you say?
Donald Trump, you can suck my left nut, you can get out of my drawer. You're just mad because Salma Hayek wouldn't give me the time of day, and because Claudia Sheinbaum make you look like a loser.
So, interesting glimpse into the psychology there.
Yes, yes, quite. Quite.
I'm an LA mom. Suck my nut.
I'm so confused.
At first, I thought this was actually just like a chubby dude.
No, that's a woman.
Yeah, but then went mom and then said to suck my nut. So I'm just confused. It is Pride Month.
It is. I do like the helmet. It's a good look. The helmet and goggles is a fire look.
When you're throwing bricks, you don't want to have an accident occur.
Yeah,
it's true.
Bricks are flying through the air like that. Yeah. Very dangerous.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, more people should observe the same safety protocols that she does.
Yeah. I mean, if there's going to be a pile of bricks, you should get some helmets.
Well, don't you think that some of these orgs could fund helmets for the protesters too? You know, you got masks. That's great.
I think they're useful idiots. I don't think they care about the expense.
They don't care about their brain cells?
No, they're more about offense rather than defense. Because there's always going to be more cuckoo protesters to fund.
That's true.
I mean, look, the amount of emotion that she had and like the amount of like she was captured by the moment, 100%. I mean, like it's there. I did wonder what the 1992 tax was. I couldn't figure that out. I don't know what that is. I figure it's got to do something with remittances. It's got to.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
We have 0% remittances.
I know, but something happened in 1992. But what tax? I'm very curious about what that meant. I looked for like an hour to try to figure out what that was, and I could not figure out what she was referring to. So, great question. If someone knows, drop me in the comments.
Does this go back to the King riots for some reason?
That might be a reference.
Like it is 92.
It might be like a jarbled up, like I'm just in the moment talking. But that was one of the King riots. But with your effing tax, what is that? I don't know.
This might be a train of thought, and then going into the remittance, which I didn't even realize the remittance tax was a thing in the BBB until literally these riots happened. So I had like no idea. So they rose awareness.
Yeah. It all comes back.
I did see a senator saying that after these riots, he put a proposal in for the Senate version of the bill for 15% remittance tax.
Oh,
so I can't remember which senator
like
was,
that
senator
on remittance
was,
harder.
Oof.
Let's just go 100.
So one thing I want to. Okay, so I do want to know that both of those guys, they had a very interesting thing they said about like we're not undocumented. So undocumented to me always just seemed like a PC-ism, but that philosophy, there's an underlying philosophy there. There's like this is actually our country, or this is actually Mexico, not America. Which if
you lost the war,
yeah,
and then we paid for it.
Yeah, and this is, I've heard, respond, you know, as articulated as the Reconquista, right? It's this argument that because Southwest America is majority Mexican and Latino, that therefore they should really actually control that area. Now, it's about 50-50 in LA County, but they're saying, like, this is we're not undocumented here. We pre-exist to you. This is a really interesting thing, because if that guy was an illegal, he's definitely an illegal alien, not based upon what happened in 1848.
Right.
Right. So, like,
he crossed a political border much more recently than that.
It shows you, like, the strange collectivist thing where it's like, I am my group identity to such a strong degree.
It's kind of like the Native American thing.
Well, I mean, but Native Americans, don't get me wrong, I support the idea of Americans becoming American citizens because we're incorporating into the political unity that they belong to.
But like, it's I'm saying, like, the mentality when there's a lot of people within, like, the Native American ethos that are just like, this is still our land. Yeah. It's not your property. We're going to steal your houses from you.
Yeah,
like,
someday.
That's like, there's that type of a mentality. Yeah. And then it's like filtered in through academia and the colleges. Like, you have a lot of these Native Americans that go into the college system, and then they come into these, like, Native American groups that also just, like, turn them all gay for some reason. Like, that's my experience here in Montana, is like, I've seen that, like, great, like, it's just like, whoa, what happened there?
Weird left wing culture thing.
There's like a left wing LGBTQ thing that happens with them. And then it's just like, and then it was like, well, Marx said, and then Foucault said, and then it was like, and they're just like spouting off postmodernism and Marxism and stuff like that, where there's a pipeline that exists.
And you know, there is like that continuous that first guy really shows, right? Mm-hmm. There's this identity politics. It's a very neo-Marxist point of view, and we're going to combine with our ethnic identity interest needs with the American worker to remake the United States. But we're actually part of Mexico, which is also a, you know, democratic socialist republic.
Well, right? And so that's one of the funny ironies that everybody online was pointing out. It's just like, okay, so you're going around waving the Mexican flag as a protest against being sent back to Mexico. That's kind of like the online kind of like, you're like, it feels kind of ironic, but there is the sense of like, this is Mexico. That is kind of in the ethos of the mindset of a lot of these.
Well, and then it's very analogous then as well to sort of the Palestinian situation. And I'm sure there's a lot of crossover ideologically amongst people attending this protest as attend those as well.
People that attend protests tend to have a lot of crossover.
It seems like there's a Venn diagram that exists there.
Well, it's all very radical left orientated, right? Sure. So they're crossing, you know, those lines in order to try to find the thing that will allow them to build their movement,
right?
That's, and hold the Donald Trump administration accountable, right? And try to drive down his numbers. That's not happening. His numbers are going up.
No. Yeah. His numbers, actually, let me pull those.
But I do want to know, it is really interesting too. Another part of the Reconquista that I think is interesting is, do you know how long Mexico controlled California and the Southwestern America?
No.
From 1821 to 1848. It's like 20 years. It's not very long. So like, it's a weird thing too. That's like, if at any one of those moments, you could also say this is Spain, right? And you would actually have a better case, because they ruled that area for hundreds of years, right?
Fair.
So like, it's a very torturous thing. So, but it's actually about the ethnic identity, not the national identity. I get that, but that error fundamentally is the error of collectivism. It's a racist error. It says like, I have dominion over your ground because of something your ancestors did, and something my ancestors at one point that I might not even be related to might have owned.
Imagine these protesters out here waving Spanish flags.
Right. That'd actually be a really funny goof.
It would be
like showing up with a Spanish flag. Like, we should go back to Spain.
Ooh, history jokes. Nobody would get it.
You're right.
Speaking of the Trump approval ratings, is his approval ratings hit throughout these protests. His net approval ratings are the highest they've been since January. In here.
Very strange.
Yeah, so, we're also having a CNN was like reporting, we don't have to necessarily play the video, but you can just see it from the capture here, is they were looking at Donald Trump in regards to immigration, minus 21 points and now plus 1 point.
And this is from his prior administration,
prior administration.
2017. Mm-hmm. So same point in the year versus, you know, the same point this year, he's up 1 point versus down 20.
I also saw another one. I didn't pull this one, but I saw they were mapping out. It was like, who do you think is more correct on immigration, Republicans or Democrats? And it's Republicans for like the main swath of people.
Yeah. I mean, I think that all tracks from the stuff that we talked about regarding the election and the Democrats analyzing why they lost and kind of missing the, the broader cultural understanding that, you know, the way our immigration system is operating right now is broken for American citizens.
I mean, one of the things that I find is interesting about that is because typically how it works in public sentiment is shutting down the border is popular, but deportations are unpopular, typically. And I'm not sure if those figures that came out recently are actually associated with deportations yet, or if they're just associated with broad immigration policy. But you do wonder. I mean, it could be that that's changing. And, you know, they really, honestly, they kind of have to for Donald Trump, right? Because ultimately, the Republicans have a really bad, game theory problem, right? Which is if Democrats come in and open up the borders and let in a bunch of illegals, and they don't remove illegals, you're now in a situation where you've created a perverse incentive that every time a Democrat administration is in is to let in a bunch of illegals because they know that the Republican coming in later won't deport them, right? And that's a really tough problem for people who are concerned about the rise of a bigger police state and more police enforcement. If you're at all concerned about that, and people getting swept up in dragnets who are actually American citizens, which there are a handful of those cases and they're bad and that shouldn't happen, but you know these things are going to happen when you let in hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of illegals, and they're trying to deport them. It's a tragedy, but there it is.
I think you had mentioned that deportation's unpopular, like mass deportations. And I think going into the administration, I think the general American sentiment was start by focusing on criminals. But there becomes like the more you're just kind of the average illegal immigrant, people start to get a little bit more leery about it. Mm-hmm. I think these riots in general are going to be pushing that needle further of like, because this is the sentiment that I'm seeing where a lot of people that are like, weren't even necessarily just like 5 years ago for deportations in general. Mm-hmm. We're just like, let's get all the criminal deported, like focus on that. And now I'm seeing them shift just deport them all. Like that's the sentiment that I seem to
There's a high degree of frustration amongst the average person, sort of regardless of political affiliation. It's like, we all want to live in a safe community that, you know, where there are stores where you can go buy things that aren't smashed out by these protests. And so I could see that exact thing happening. These protests really pushing people really hard in support of that.
Well, it's like, remember just during riot season before, what we saw was all these major franchises like Walmart's and
CVS, you know, Walgreens,
people like that. They were pulling out of cities like Portland and Seattle en masse and noting security concerns.
Right.
Is that it would cost them too much in security and insurance and things like that to then just like that they might as well just close down the store because they're going to be net negative.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this kind of plays into that as well, is the immigration and that are kind of linked.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the more effects Main Street like that, the more downstream effects people are going to see of those things, the more they're going to be like, well, this system's not working.
Right.
Yeah. I need a radical change. And that's more likely to support mass deportations. And that's not to say that there shouldn't be necessarily or should be. It's just saying that this is the perverse incentives we're currently facing. And Donald Trump's kind of in a nasty situation. He has to respond quickly to these riots right now, even though the scale of damage is not anywhere near George Floyd or 1992. Early intervention is something that he now has the incentive to do,
right?
Because if he doesn't, it's just going to build, and next thing he knows, he's got a real crisis on his hands,
right?
That he kind of half owns because he's a sitting president, and that's just how our system works. It shouldn't work that way. It should be on the governor of that state to respond, but unfortunately the American people have decided that the president is a king who's in charge of everything that happens in the country, so now he kind of has to. And that's stupid, but there it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was something else that you said is just like the undocumented thing. I found this really interesting from in the Minnesota state representatives, House of State Representatives. This woman just like blatantly on the floor admitted that she's illegal and that her like parents forged their documents. Like,
bold move.
Yeah.
Cotton.
Like,
oh,
you're,
God, I gotta see it. I gotta see
it. His mother had died. My father, as the one processing the paperwork, put my grandmother down as his mother. And so I am illegal in this country. My parents are illegal here in this country because his mother had died.
Yeah. I went and looked into this a little bit more, and I looked at the partisan spread of their house in Minnesota. It's 50-50. It's like, this chick gets deported. Republicans win.
Oh my God. So you can bet the state Republicans in the House, they're going to be probably looking into that.
But most states have a way to reappoint new empty seats.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, but
it's just kind of like a funny thing where you're just like, lady, why would you just admitting that? What are you doing?
Yeah, a lot of state legislators have nothing you can admit on the floor is criminal or can be criminally prosecuted. But now it just sparks an investigation.
Right.
And that can be. So she might not have understood those rules quite right. Because you could still be investigated for fraud.
But there is this thing where, like, you're seeing more of it. And I saw this at the protest, and we can get back to some of the protest stuff, is like people like, I'm undocumented. Like that phrasing is like, it's a very interesting vernacular that the left has been using for quite some time now. And it's just like, there's a cultural phenomenon around that.
And it's deeper than I think I realized at first. I mean, I just thought it was PC-ness, but it's more than that.
What are you?
You're getting like way into my shot.
Well, you're getting way into my shot all the time. So leave me alone.
Headshot.
I didn't want to derail. I just looked over and I noticed Joe's like nose in my shot.
I'm just going to boop you on the nose. Okay. Back to it.
Next clip, Kyle.
This next one is a guy talking about this kind of goes into what you guys were saying.
So the Reconquista is not like an edge philosophy too. This is the head of the Senate in Mexico.
I love this flag.
Oh, sorry.
This guy just likes colors.
That's not the clip I pulled. I didn't realize that's where you're
going. It's funny. He says, I love the Mexican flag. I thought he was saying Allah. Allah. Like, Allah Akbar.
Okay, here. Let me pull the Senate one.
Sorry, you queued me up all wrong.
I thought you knew which one you were talking about when I pulled it up. Okay.
Just the first few seconds.
To win la Torre Trump.
I was at Trump Tower when President-elect Donald Trump said Trump he was 16 days away from taking office
for
the first time as president,
el cargo.
About to assume the role.
And yo dije, si hacemos I said, el muro,
yes,
si lo pagamos.
We'll build the wall. Yes, we'll
pero
pay for it.
Con el mapa de México,
but we'll do it according to the map of Mexico from 1830. Actually, let me just, for the people that are, for our listeners only, this map goes up like beyond Utah and California.
So we're talking about axing off California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. So the new southern border
they'll
would be
pay for that wall, he said.
Oregon and Idaho, Colorado, and looks like most of Oklahoma.
You know, now that we talk about it, walling off California is not a bad idea.
Well, I'm looking at this and I'm like,
I didn't see some toys. Like, we'll sell it back for you for like, I don't know, their annual GDP. just buy back, you know, put it on the credit card. It's fine. We'll take a payment plan for that.
I think when I looked, I don't have the number in front of me, but after the war and part of the treaty, we paid like $12.5 million for California.
Let me see
like
here.
That.
I had it written down.
$15 million.
Not bad.
That's quite a bit of money back then. I mean, but hey. Yeah. But I want to make this clear. I'm not trying to overstate. I'm not saying everybody in Mexico or all Mexicans believe this, but it is an ideology that seems real and bigger than I ever thought it was before. I mean, I've heard of this before. I've gone all back to when I was in high school, but a real way of thinking, a real way of being for a set of group of people that I think is interesting.
Some of this is gamesmanship too, though. Like,
100%.
Like, cause it's sort of like Trump. It's sort of like Trump saying Canada's a state.
Yeah, too. But it's gamesmanship that relies on an idea.
There is ideology.
Manifest destiny is what you're drawing on when you're pulling on that idea of Canada being the 51st state, right? Mm-hmm. This is that, but for Mexico, it's like we got screwed out of a deal after the Mexican-American War, at the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, that was, you know, they lost 55% of their territory, right? Now it's 55% of their territory that the Spanish had conquered, that they then did rebellion and won their independence on, but then they sold to the U.S. government.
Isn't that what happens during wars? Is, you know, you lose and then you got to kind of abide by the terms of the winner and you're probably going to...
Well, it's not going to be actual Mexican policy, but it's like this, but it's the ontology. It's about the being of the person, the way they see themselves in the world as you're sitting in America. And then you ask the question. So if you're out there saying that and people in America are saying, hey, wait, I thought the deal was that you're an American citizen. You're going to incorporate yourself into the identity of America.
Right.
And if you're not doing that, you are now feeding that side of the right that's saying, all y'all actually are changing us in a very perverse way, making us not America. And if you feed that, that's a very dangerous beast to feed.
Completely. And what it makes it feel like to me, just, you know, watching the riots, and probably to a lot of other Americans, particularly the MAGA coalition of the Republicans, like a literal invasion, which is what they've been calling it. I mean, a guy standing on a car waving a Mexican flag in a U.S. state feels like an invasion, right? And so they're putting fuel on the fire for that narrative.
Well, and that's the thing too, is in modern warfare now, it is often, it's usually not like a citywide thing that things go down. Like you'll be in a coffee shop and five blocks down there's a war, like a full-blown war going
absolutely
on. Like, that's the Middle East for you.
But what we're
that's
talking what happens, about is right? is a propaganda war, right? It's an right. it's an information war that's happening.
Well, and that's the thing too, like if you you know, if you ever play like grand strategy games like Civilization or something like that, back when I used to play that was always a route that I would take for undermining my my neighbors, is that I would go for cultural victories and try to spread my culture inside their like the neighboring border states to the point where they rose up and then I would just absorb them. Right,
like it's, thing.
It's kind of like that, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. There's the media theory. There is. It's less so about the actual riot, right? That's another part of it too. Riots themselves are part of Marxist ideology. I mean, the anarchists of the late, 19th century, early 20th century had this philosophy. It's called the propaganda of the deed. It was the idea that you kill somebody or you do a political assassination. Think of the guy who killed the two Israeli guys outside that. That's a propaganda of the deed. Mm-hmm. It's this idea that you commit violence and that inspires more people to commit violence so that you can overthrow the system. It's a terrible theory. No, it doesn't work. What actually happens is that people go, no thanks. That's violence.
Right.
In stable societies. In unstable societies, it might work. That is another thing, kind of leaning into that. Like the more you portray people who are pro-immigrant, immigration that way, the more you're going to get a nasty blowback from the right, because it's right. saying you're here to subvert our country,
right
that's not going to play well for you.
No.
And you wonder, if that's what they really want. Do they really want to crack down? Because often the action is in the reaction, meaning it's the response of the Donald Trump administration to send in National Guard, that now Gavin Newsom is going around saying, oh, he's trying to be a dictator, trying to take over California with troops from DC.
And that's a really good question too, because I could see patriots from rural America saying, I'm not going to stand for this in my country, and going in and being violent back, right? And that could be just as damaging for the narrative on their side, giving the left ammunition to say, oh, look at, these, crazy right-wing, militias coming in and creating violence of their own in our state.
Remember the Proud Boys?
Yes.
What happened to the Proud Boys? Antifa's still around. They're taking over Seattle again, right now. Right now that's happening again. A new Chaz or whatever.
In Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So, and like, they're still operating. Proud Boys are gone. Mainstream media press made a big deal of the Proud Boys, but Antifa's still just operating. They're just kind of pretending like they don't exist. They're literally firebombing police stations.
Right.
What's going on? Like that phenomena, you observe it and you feel like you're taking crazy pills if you don't conclude, well, something's going on here. Like there's a media misdirection here trying to lead me to believe a certain, very certain thing, very specific thing.
Right.
What do you guys think the general populace is right now on the National Guard, and now the Marines are in too? I feel like the sentiment seems to be, but this just might be, I'm too much on X, where the general sentiment is just send in the National Guard and get it done quick.
Yeah.
Like stop the color revolution kind of thing. Like do it fast.
Yeah.
Like that seems to be the sentiment that I'm seeing.
I think when you look at mainstream press outlets, from mostly what I saw was, Trump deploys National Guard in controversial move.
But that's mainstream. That's mainstream press. Like that's people listening muted in airports.
I get it. But
like boomer lefty hippies from the 60s might.
Yeah, I'm talking New York Times too, right? And obviously Fox News is going to say this is the best move Trump's ever made and all that kind of stuff. But I do think that the average American would come across that headline. They're going to be like, once again, I think deportations are controversial and they will remain controversial in many ways.
For sure. But I think to your question, Kyle, it really does come down to maybe more of what the alternative media is saying. And it's obviously coming out now that, Gavin Newsom has said, I never talked to Trump about this. And then Trump released the screenshot of the call log with Gavin Newsom. They had a 16-minute phone call, allegedly, assuming President Trump didn't doctor an image, which I think
would
be crazy if he did.
It was somebody from his press corps that released it. Yeah.
Nevertheless, there's so many different ways to get information around this and to get clarity on the details of it that, I think that people will be able to see through the mainstream media narrative piece. Mm-hmm. But my big question is, what is the right response, right? If people are, if you don't address this, while it's small and it's allowed to spread, and maybe more cities in California or other states start to get unstable, what happens if Trump doesn't go in and do this and look a bit like a dictator now? We're gonna have a way bigger problem on our hands, aren't we?
Exactly. When that's the perverse incentive of 2020, right? Because things weren't done then by the state governors, now he has to.
Right.
Because otherwise he takes the blame. And that's what happened in 2020. Crazily. Because he's the one who's saying, you guys should do something about it, and then they didn't.
Right.
Yeah, you know? And he said, like, I'll bring in National Guards if you let me. And he did for some states, and he didn't for others.
So really, I think he's maybe looking at this and saying, I made a mistake last time by not just doing
it. Now he doesn't have to get reelected.
Yeah, that's also that.
True.
And his support numbers are higher. The right is way more galvanized around him, even with all the controversy.
But also middle America, I think, is way more down for the National Guard coming in and cleaning up this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, back in 2020, middle America was still psyoped by everything that was going around COVID, and we still had the total social media control and lockdown over information.
It's like that.
Like, I was arguing in the summer of love, I was arguing with libertarians about BLM.
It's more like
that's what was
it's
happening.
More like right? There was an initial period where people were, I think, giving the government grace on COVID, and then that was getting wearisome, and then George Floyd happened, they watched the guy die there, and they were like, oh my God. And then it was like, well, people are protesting, okay, I can understand that, some guy died. And then after a while,
put the black
burnings,
screen on Instagram.
Yeah. And by the time you get around to Kyle Rittenhouse in that time period, people are like, I don't care what you do. Send in the army. You know, do what you got to do. I think that's a part of it. It was like a degradation. The question is, have we returned to baseline, or are we still at the end of that gradation of intolerance for riots?
It's this thing where, like, I look at people throwing bricks and I'm like, you throw bricks, that is a lethal weapon. Your life is forfeit now. Like, if somebody shot you for throwing a brick at your house, civilian on civilian, let alone civilian on cop or whatever, like, I would have no sympathies for you getting shot for doing that. Right. Like, so I'm seeing people throwing bricks at, like, passerby cars on the highway, mm-hmm. not just cop cars. Like, that in itself is also bad, but, like, just regular people also. It's just like, no, that stuff's got to be cleaned up. If people are bringing in pallets of bricks, like, we need investigations on the money that's coming in there, mm-hmm. because there's 100%. Obviously the NGO ties that are happening here. Mm-hmm. We can see it with the Data Republican work.
And it's another reason to end the USAID.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Which allegedly is supposed to be closing out July 1st, like, officially.
Yeah, but they have to keep it. They have to rebrand it or something. Like, it would be illegal for them to do anything else until there's a rescission or a repeal.
Yeah. So I keep seeing, like, mixed reporting on that. Like, Mike Benz, I was listening to Mike Benz just on my way in here, and he was talking about that his understanding is that it's gone on the 1st of July.
But they,
in my current framework of what I understand, I thought that there had to be some sort of congressional rescission that had to occur with it, but it was formed via executive order.
It was formed by executive order as a directive of Congress. So Congress said, do something to consolidate all of the charity into one place. Right. And then he made USAID, but they still have to spend that money because it's been appropriated. Otherwise it violates the Budget Control Act. And then, so that means he has to make something that then spends that money, right? And then, what are they going to spend the money on? Well,
Greenland,
IRI. That's what's going to be.
What?
Oh, I was just pointing out the time.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry,
we did get started a little late, but I think we can start to wrap things up here. So, yeah. I mean, what are your key takeaways? What do you think we're going to see from this, you guys?
Well, I think this weekend's going to be wild.
Isn't it also Trump's birthday on the 14th?
It's also Flag Day,
and it's Flag Day. And doesn't Trump have some sort of crazy parade planned?
I'm not sure about the parade.
I've heard something about a parade.
I heard there's he's trying to bring in tanks and, like, do this whole, like, military display. This could be total hogwash from the depths of X.
Dude, this weekend is going to be wild. Yeah,
I'm so glad I'm going to be in the mountains of Idaho for it. The safest place in the country. Got survivalists all over the place.
That is the thing. Like, us up here in the northwest, not Seattle, like, everything minus Seattle in the northwest.
Yeah.
We're, like, in the best place for when the boogaloo goes down.
What's
the boogaloo?
That's what they were calling it during the summer of love, is the boogaloo. it's the resistance.
I like that word better than the happening. The happening was always so much more confusing, but the boogaloo is a much better word. Right. It's for the
electric boogaloo. Like a boomer dance party.
Breakdown of...
I think it was a Proud Boy term for when the riots occur and everything starts to fall apart. And
breakdown
goes
of social
to civil
order.
War.
Yeah.
So, like, we're in a good place for that. Like, we still have quite a bit of social order up here in Montana. Everybody kind of, like,
gets each other for the most part, and everybody's got guns. And
everybody's got guns, exactly.
Although, like, there's supposed to be some of these, like, what is it, No Kings protest or whatever? What is it called?
It's gonna be in Bozeman.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Like, if you just see the map, do we have the map in the notes?
Oh, I don't think so.
Can't remember. Yeah, but it's literally just like in every location.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the more Soros-funded one. Is the No Kings, like, it's more that, like, network, from my understanding of where the money is. It's much more union based, but it's going to be one of those things, like, it might just be about unions and the cutting of Medicaid and stuff like that, but, like, that's not going to stop.
I think you're right. I mean, based upon the advertisement too, there's indication that it has to do with immigration as well. So they're gonna hit on that too. Because I don't know why they think that's a winner. That's like the hardest target.
It's like an 80-20 issue.
I know. I think it's they want the reaction to be the thing that actually gets them to turn the dialogue.
Which I think is why people who might be inclined to get involved and be confrontational around something that is already fairly peaceful, right? Like, would probably be here in Bozeman. There'll be some loud people marching up and down Main Street, and they'll probably go home by lunchtime because they're hungry, you know, but, like, don't do anything stupid, I think, is my main message. Don't do anything stupid, you know, protect yourself, defend yourself, but...
One time, the agent provocateur thing is, like, a real thing, too.
Yeah.
Of groups that want to spark stuff.
Right.
Doesn't have, like, intel boys or cartels or whatever.
Get it all on camera.
And now we have X where the bookmarks won't go away.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, agent provocateurs are real, and they're also very, very violent leftists, right? So both of those things are true at the same time. So you got to be careful, each of those. When we were doing that Bernie protest in Bozeman back in the day, I remember we had a bunch of people who were there with us, and I was like, guys, we cannot do anything other than say what we're going to say, and if someone gets up and gets in our face, you walk away.
Yep.
And I had people there, and they're like, hey, macho people, and they're like, no, I can't do that. Can't possibly do that. Someone steps up to me, I'm like, no, you don't get it.
Media.
Because when this happens, you will lose. And you won't lose then. You'll lose in the media game afterwards. Because we don't own them. So the place, now it's changing with social media, right? We're seeing that change all the time. That's been a substantial one. But
wear a body cam. Wear a body cam. Have it on at all times.
100%.
And don't do anything stupid.
Yeah. I wish we could be here on this weekend. Though, to get some interviews. I want to get some man on the streets for those.
I can set you guys up at the rig. We can get you out there.
I'm going to be out of town too.
Kyle.
Screwed. I'm not going solo to this.
Just you and Bennett. Just take you and Bennett.
Me and Bennett.
Anyways.
Do it for the lulz. Do it for the plot.
I'm going to stay far away.
Ask him about the Reconquista. Come on, buddy.
Yeah, us here in Bozeman, what do you feel about the Reconquista? all of the Latinos here.
Definitely call it the Reconquista, too, because that's going to go over really well.
The Quista.
All right, that seems good for one show. For David Rand, for Kyle Mack, I'm Joe Sheehan. Thank you at home for watching. We appreciate you very much. Leave us a comment in the description. Will you be at a protest? Go check it out. Join our Discord. Drop your videos in there. We'd love to see what you guys turn up from around the country. For our editor, Bennett, who is somewhere else, this is Human Reaction. We'll see you in the next one.
I think he's protesting in L.A.
Got him. Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com.